The short prophecy of Obadiah contrasts Esau and the people whom Esau represents with Jacob and the people whom Jacob represents. God's hatred and judgment of Esau and God's love of Jacob. And in verse 15, the Lord has this to say, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them, and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviours shall come up upon Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Yea, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, saith the Lord." Here is a book which shouts out the message of election. God's sovereign choice of his people. His choosing a people, his choice to save Jacob and his spiritual descendants. His choice to choose a people whom he would deliver upon Mount Zion. And his anger and wrath against the wicked whom Esau represents. God's sovereign choice of his people and his jealousy over them. His jealousy over his bride, his church, his loved one. The one for whom God suffered as the Son of God, as Jesus Christ. God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, to enter into this world of darkness. This world of sin, this world of corruption, this world of a children of wrath. He sent his Son to go to a cross, to go to a place of execution, to go to that place called Golgotha, the place of a skull, to be nailed to the tree, to be judged, to be crucified, to be slain, to suffer under the outpouring of God's wrath and fury against the sins of his people, the sins and the corruption of Jacob and his descendants. God sent his Son because he loved Jacob. Because he loved his bride, the church, and gave himself for her, because he would take her corruptions as though they were his. As her husband, Christ took the corruptions and the sin of his bride. And though she was the one who committed those sins, and though he himself was sinless, pure, spotless, a lamb without blemish, as her husband he owned them all as his. As her husband he owned her guilt as his. And he gave himself for her. He gave himself for those whom he loved. He gave himself for Jacob and his people, of whom Jacob is a picture. Yes, God loves Jacob. God loves his own. God loves that people whom he's chosen, elected by grace unto salvation. And it's because he's chosen a people that people are saved. And should he have not chosen to save that people, then all would have been slain. For all have earned his condemnation, including Jacob. And yet Jacob was loved of God. God is jealous over his church. He's jealous over Jacob. He's jealous over his church, his bride. And woe betide any who fights against her. Woe betide any. Woe betide any who lays a finger on one of God's little ones. Esau warred against his brother Jacob, and God's anger was kindled against Esau. This is a small book, but it has a big message. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but of God. It's of God. Christ, the true light, came into the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Yes, salvation and the new birth, where dead sinners are brought to life by God to believe on him and to believe on his Son, is not brought about by the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. For God has chosen to save a people in Christ his Son, not by their works and not by their will, But through Christ, by grace, by his sovereign electing choice of them. For the law was given by Moses, which demanded that we work, which demanded that we will, which demanded that we do. And all it did was slay us and condemn us and leave us in the grave. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, who came to save his people from their sins, because he loved that people whom his Father gave unto him. That people whom his Father chose before the foundations of this world, before ever they were born, before ever they lived, before ever they went astray, before ever they turned against God, before ever they rebelled, God chose a people. And he gave that people to his Son, and he laid their names upon his heart. And Christ came into this world, born at Bethlehem, growing to a man in Nazareth, heading for Jerusalem, heading to the cross, with those names engraved upon his heart. Those names of Jacob and his descendants, those names of his election of grace, engraved upon his heart, that he should go to the cross to take the sins of all those names upon himself and bear them away in death. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. As Paul quotes in Romans 9, and as the prophet Malachi tells us in the opening words of his prophecy, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Wherein hast thou loved us? I hated Esau, but I loved Jacob. If you ever know or come to know the love of God as was set upon Jacob, you will wonder that God should love you. You will wonder that God should love you. Because you will know in your heart that you are corrupt, that you are fallen, that you are a rebel against God, and have been since the day you were born. And you will know the corruption of sin in your flesh. And you will know the justice of God and the righteousness, the rightness with which he would justly condemn you and slay you. If you ever know his love, if you ever know the love of Christ shed abroad in your heart, you will wonder that he loves you. Because you will know that you are unlovely. You will know that you deserve his wrath and his anger. Logic would dictate that he would be as furious with you as he is with anyone else. And yet you come to know with wonder that he spared you from the wrath to come, that he's washed you in the blood of his Son, that he set his love upon you as he set it upon Jacob. Oh, the love of God. It's past all understanding. Past all understanding. As Paul said in Romans 8, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not only has God set this love upon his own, upon Jacob, Not only is this love so undeserved, so unmerited, but there's nothing, no power on earth or heaven that can take it away. When God loves his own, he loves him with an everlasting love. And he's jealous over his bride. He's jealous over his people. He's jealous over the house of Jacob. Jealous. As Matthew records for us the Lord's words with respect to his people, to his little ones. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea than that he should stand before Almighty God and have to give an answer for why he has offended one of God's little ones for whom Christ died. Because Christ loves his church. He loves Jacob with a jealousy which will be vented and poured out upon Esau and the enemies of his people with an eternal vengeance. You cannot offend one of God's little ones, one of his people, and think you will get away with it. God loves the church. And though many rage against the church today, and though many will seek to persecute it and trample it underfoot, and though many will despise it and pour scorn upon the followers of Jesus Christ, and mock them and laugh at them and cause their hurt and seek to shame them and to ridicule them and to hound them from city to city and put them to death if they could, though they hate them as they hate their master, the Lord Jesus Christ, though the world rages against God's church, God is jealous over her. And he will defend her. He will watch over his people to the end. And any in history who have offended any one of those little ones in his church, in his company, in Jacob, it is better for them that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Oh, don't raise a hand against God's people. Don't raise a hand against God's people. And believer, don't raise a hand against your brother. There's the flesh in all of us. There's corruption and sin in all of us that we carry to our grave. But Christ has taken away the sins of his own. And he's judged them and they are forgiven. And if he has forgiven them, then we are to forgive our brethren. How good we are to see the motes in others' eyes and to not see the beams in our own. How good we are, how clever we are at finding the faults of our brethren and pointing this out and that out. How easily we seek to divide and to cause schism when God says, "These are my little ones, do not offend. I have loved them and I have paid the price for their sins. There is none in themselves who are perfect. And there is none in this world who don't carry the flesh to their grave. And if you expect perfection of your brethren in the church, you will be sorely disappointed. But God knows they are perfect in Christ. They are his little ones. He has loved them. And he's jealous over them. And they're called to walk together before him. Looking not upon the outward, looking not upon the flesh, looking not upon the faults and the failings, but looking upon Christ and their brethren as they are in Christ. For we are united and one in Christ. And our righteousness is not in us, but in Him. And our salvation is not in our deeds or our wisdom or our works, but in Him. In Him, in He who has loved us with an everlasting love. Whoso shall receive one of these little children, full of faults and failings, but little children who know Christ and who love Christ and His gospel and who serve Christ, whoso receives one of these little children receiveth me. You may speak of Christ. You may speak of following Him. You may speak of receiving Him. But if you don't receive His people, you don't receive Him. The child of God loves Christ and His people. Even though, naturally speaking, they are unlovely. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Who is Jacob? What was Jacob? Was Esau a rogue and Jacob the perfect son? Was Jacob a man of upstanding? Did Jacob merit God's love when Esau merited his anger? No, Jacob was a schemer, a deceiver, corrupt, wily. Jacob sought his own advantage at the expense of his brother. He deceived his father in order to gain the birthright. He sought his own end and his own glory. Jacob was a liar, a deceiver. And not just before he came to know God. But he was full of sin, as we are full of sin. And there was everything in Jacob to deserve the rejection of God, to deserve God's judgment and God's wrath. Everything which made him unlovable, full of every fault, which would cause you and I to condemn him and to reject him. If Jacob stood here today, we'd never stop seeing that which we could find fault with. Would we receive Jacob? Or would we cast him out? Get out of here, you liar. You schemer. You lack integrity, you lack faithfulness. We'd cast him out like the Pharisees cast out. Stand not by me, for I'm holier than thou. I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not as this man Jacob, a sinner. Oh, how they thought that God should love them. Because they were not Jacob's. They weren't spotted like Jacob. Yet God loved Jacob and hated Esau. And God did not love Jacob because of the good that was in Jacob. And God did not love Jacob because Jacob decided to follow God. God did not love Jacob because Jacob worked well, because Jacob was a good man, because Jacob made the right decisions. God loved Jacob because God would love Jacob. Because He set His love upon him. Because He chose him. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Yes, we would despise and reject him, but he was loved of God. He's mine. And upon Mount Zion he shall be delivered, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Jacob's mine, and his descendants are mine. The house of Jacob shall be a fire. It shall burn a blaze of glory. And the house of Joseph a flame. And the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. In which house are you? Are you in the house of Jacob or the house of Esau? It won't be your works or your righteousness that makes the difference. If you know the love that Jacob knew, it won't be because you are better than Esau. And yet if you are in the house of Esau, if you know not God and his love, then you shall be stubble and kindle for the burning of the fire of Jacob and Joseph. Their glory will be displayed in the judgment of God against their sins and against your sin. In the judgment of God against all the sins of all mankind, which in those in the house of Esau will be poured out upon them for eternity. You will pay for your sins and your rebellion of God and your rejection of his gospel and his son, and your hatred and despising of Jesus Christ and his ways. You will pay as stubble and kindle upon which a fire burns. But if God has set his love upon you, then the display of his judgment and justice against your sins shall not be meted out upon you, but they were meted out upon his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who on Mount Zion, upon a cross, outside the city of Jerusalem, showed forth the glory of God, burning in a blaze for Jacob and his house. On that cross, Christ took the sins of Jacob and the sin of Jacob and delivered him. Delivered upon Mount Zion. Delivered him in righteousness. Delivered him in holiness. Separated him unto the glory of God. That Jacob should have an inheritance. That Jacob shall possess his possessions. That Jacob should enter into an everlasting kingdom with his God forevermore. That Jacob should have all the riches of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Oh, God's glory is seen here. The wonderful, wondrous glory of God in the salvation of his people and in the display of judgment in the flames and the fires which were poured out upon Christ on Zion and upon Jacob, Israel, in Christ. as both Christ and his people plunged into the grave to rise again on the third day. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Wherein is God's love for Jacob displayed? He poured out his fury, his wrath, his justice, his holiness upon Jesus Christ, his Son, upon Mount Zion. And having poured it out, there was no more sin, no more corruption, no more rebellion, no more hatred. Not one blemish or spot in Jacob to be seen. So that his people, Jacob, the house of Jacob, should rise with Christ in righteousness. Rise with their Saviour. Rise with their Saviour to rule in the kingdom. They should rise up upon Mount Zion. As this prophecy concludes, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Well, there was one saviour who died upon a cross on Mount Zion for his own, but all his people in him are raised up with him as princes, as saviours in the kingdom of God, as saviours on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. They in Christ judge the wicked, and the kingdom shall be the Lord, because Christ has died, Christ has suffered, and Christ has risen again. Praise his name. He's risen. Oh, do you know him? Have you seen him upon Mount Zion? Have you seen his deliverance? Have you seen his salvation? Have you seen his love for Jacob, for the schemer, for the deceiver, for the child of wrath? Have you seen that and thought, that's not me? Have you set yourself apart from it? Do you look upon your own sin and your own rebellion and think you're afar off, you're an Esau? Well, it's not the depth of your sin that separates you from God. Jacob was a schemer, greater than you. Jacob was a deceiver worse than you. Jacob was a sinner just like you. And if God could love Jacob, he can love you. And if God could deliver Jacob, he can deliver you. And if God should love Jacob, he can love you. It's not your sin that will make the difference. It's God's choice. Either he will save you or he won't save you. It's not what you are or what you can do or how you can improve yourself that will make a difference. But if you know you're that sinner, if you know you're that deceiver, if you know you're that schemer, if you know you're that rebel, and you know that deliverance is on Mount Zion, and you know that God's glory is seen in judgment, and you know that you deserve judgment but fear it, then fall down upon your knees before a holy and an almighty God who loved a sinner like you and who loves sinners like you. Fall down upon your knees before the God of Jacob, who chose and loved Jacob despite all his sin, and cry out unto him to have mercy upon you. For all who cry unto him, knowing they are sinners like Jacob, know his deliverance, because Esau never truly cried unto God. He never believed like Jacob believed. He never saw like Jacob saw. And God's anger was kindled against him. Don't be an Esau. Seek the God who loves sinners like Jacob. Oh, the Pharisees came to Christ. And they were there. And they found so much to condemn in the people whom Christ loved. Oh, they saw the disciples and condemned them. They saw the adulteress. They saw Mary Magdalene. They saw the sinners with whom Christ ate and drank. This man receiveth sinners. This man eats and drinks with sinners. How can he? They're corrupt. How can you walk with the ungodly? They found stones to stone him with. They found fault in everything he did and said. He claims to be the Son of God. He's a wine bibber. He mixes and drinks with sinners. How can he? Their self-righteous indignation was stirred. Their condemnation of the wicked was kindled. How can he mix with these? But Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He didn't come to save the self-righteous. He didn't come to save those who've got it all right and all sewn up. He didn't come to save those who've studied the scriptures and formed all the right doctrine, who see everything right and practice it right, who are unspotted from the flesh, who are unspotted from the sins of their neighbours. He didn't come to save those who'd separated themselves. He came to save sinners who were helpless and hopeless, who were full of sin, who couldn't stop sinning, who had no wisdom, who didn't see things right, who couldn't mend their ways, who were so addicted to the pathway in which they walked they couldn't do anything about it. Like the drug addicts, like the alcoholics. Sin had a grip on them, as it may have a grip on you. And though you may hear the truth, and though you may hear the gospel, and though you may hear the demands of the law, and though you may know what you should be like, and want to be like that, and try to be like that, and strive to be like that, the more you strive, the more you fail. And you don't get any better, you get worse and worse and worse. And you know it, and you feel the condemnation and wrath of God upon your head. And you feel yourself falling and sinking deeper and deeper into hell. And deeper under the wrath of God. And you feel like you're afar off and without hope. Yet God comes to you in Christ and says, I came not to call those the righteous over there, but I came to call you the sinking, helpless, hopeless sinner. You who are afar off. You who are failing. You who are without strength. You who have rebelled against me. You who not only sins because you can't help it, but sins because you choose to. I came to call you, not the righteous. Let the righteous be. Let them build their churches and their gatherings. Let them gather together and separate from all others in their holy huddles. Let them be. But I came to call sinners like Jacob, whom I loved, but Esau have I hated. But upon Mount Zion shall be for Jacob, for sinners like you and I, upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, salvation. And there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. The glory of God will be seen in my people, not for anything that they are or they have done, but for what I have done by grace for them in Christ. Christ died, and I displayed my glory in the judgment of their sins in him. I made him to be sin that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. I showed forth my glory in a blaze. It's not what they've done, but what I've done. And it shall be. There's my salvation of that people whom I love. And the house of Esau is their stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. He's building his kingdom, and he's building his kingdom through the preaching of his gospel. His ecclesia is built and established through his gospel. His ecclesia is gathered through his gospel. His people are saved and gathered in and added through his gospel, the house of Jacob. And he's preaching that gospel today. It's not in the traditions of man. It's not in the churches of men. It's not in the practices of men, but it's in God by grace through his gospel in Christ. Christ is building his church upon Mount Zion. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Are you in that kingdom? Are you Jacob or Esau? Can God say of you, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated? Do you know his love wrapping around you, taking you through death, taking you through that valley of death, taking away your sin and your sins, sparing you the wrath to come, delivering you, leading you through death, leading you through the grave, leading you up, rising out of the tomb, the stone rolled away, rising up and ascending in Christ unto glory, sitting down in glory with Christ upon Mount Zion. Do you know his deliverance? Are you in his kingdom? Are you dead, buried, and risen again in Christ? Has he loved you with an everlasting love? Did he give himself for you because he loved you? Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance for Jacob, whom I love.